Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. From very high above, all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Wednesday. All day long yesterday, while I was getting ready for the launch party, which, by the way, is this upcoming Saturday. If you haven't got your tickets yet, go to independencenetwork.us and pick a couple of them up. But anyway, all day long, I listened to commentator after commentator opine on the day's events in Washington, D.C. If you haven't heard yet, we don't have a Speaker of the House anymore. Kevin McCarthy was removed as the 55th Speaker of the House of Representatives in what is called a motion to vacate the chair. I'll get to that in a minute or two. But all day long, you had this commentator saying, well, you know, this is a rash move by the Republicans. Another talking head would say, well, we always fight amongst ourselves. And then there were the others that said Kevin McCarthy definitely had it coming. But it was pretty clear who was friends with whom. Now, I'm not going to criticize anybody for their viewpoint. This is one of those things that we all have our own unique view of how things should run in Washington, D.C. It's a good thing most of us aren't there because the whole place would be even more screwed up than it already is. It was pretty entertaining watching social media yesterday. There was lots of get the tar and feathers type talk. Pretty entertaining. But not all that productive. The way our system is set up is that you have two houses of Congress. One of them, the House of Representatives, is closest to the people. They have to be elected every 2 years, and it's those folks who have the purse strings. And then the other, the Senate, well, they're elected every 6 years. Originally, the Senate was elected by the various state legislatures. The state legislature would choose two representatives to send to the Senate, and the idea being that the people that make up the Senate would be more seasoned legislators. The two houses are often described as a teacup and saucer. The reason why you have a saucer underneath a teacup or a coffee cup, it helps cool the cup, which is filled with near-boiling tea or coffee. In theory, the Senate is more contemplative, less prone to rash actions. The Senate has different rules that reflect that. For example, the cloture vote. It takes 60 votes to move anything on the floor of the Senate. But that is not the case with the House of Representatives. Often, you see the House vote on all sorts of crazy things, especially when Nancy Pelosi was the Speaker. And I suppose if you look at it from the Democrats' perspective, we Republicans vote on a whole bunch of crazy things ourselves. In other words, you might say that the House of Representatives is slightly more skilled than your average everyday mob. Think about it. If you have a big group of people, it's pretty easy to get them all riled up for whatever you want. So yesterday, we had a motion to vacate the chair. What that means is they held a vote to remove Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House. To really understand what happened, we need to talk a little parliamentary procedure. Until this past January, a motion to vacate the chair required a second from the majority of the body. In other words, you had to have a majority of the House of Representatives sign off on the motion before it could be filed. That wasn't always the case. When John Boehner was Speaker of the House, the same rule was in effect that one member of the House of Representatives could bring a motion to vacate. This was one of the concessions that Kevin McCarthy made for some members of the Freedom Caucus to vote for him as Speaker of the House. You remember that whole thing back in January where it took 15 votes to get Kevin McCarthy elected as Speaker. Though the media made a big deal out of that at the time, 15 is really not a big number. There have been some votes for Speaker of the House that took 90 tries to get it right. But to become Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy had to make some deals. One of those is that one member of the House of Representatives could bring a motion to vacate. Another is that there would be no more spending bills plopped on everybody's desk in the middle of the night that were thousands of pages long and impossible for any human to read. And at the time, I'm sure Kevin McCarthy thought that that wasn't too bad of a trade-off. Most likely, if he didn't make that deal, he probably was not going to be Speaker of the House. Most likely, he thought that he would be able to control his caucus, and he really wouldn't ever have to deal with being removed as Speaker. But if you've ever had a job where in the back of your mind you were worried every single day about being fired, it's pretty difficult to get any work done, or any quality work for that matter. When John Boehner was Speaker of the House, he lived under this very same threat. Now, don't misunderstand me. John Boehner really was not a Republican. He, like Kevin McCarthy, was a creature of the swamp, a perpetuation of business as usual in Washington, D.C. In fact, John Boehner embodied everything that we despise about politicians. I think what the Freedom Caucus did back in January was absolutely necessary. We had to do something to stop business as usual, to stop the back scratching and the self-aggrandizement and the profiteering that happens in our nation's capital. Here's what I had to say back in January.
But my point here is that there are folks that don't want the status quo to change because it benefits them, and they really don't believe in conservative values. But the only way that they could get elected in their respective districts was to run as a Republican. And that is exactly what happened with a lot of these folks that were opposed to the 20 members of the Freedom Caucus voting against Kevin McCarthy 15 times in a row. Well, 14 or whatever it ended up being.
At the time, you had every talking head on TV and commentator on the radio saying that the Freedom Caucus was just wasting everybody's time, and why can't we get down to business, and this is just a disgrace holding up the business of the American people. But my friends, we have been saying for a very long time that things have to change in Washington, D.C., because as they're being run, they don't benefit me and they don't benefit you, and frankly, they're destructive for the country. Look at our national debt. Today, it's $33.44 trillion. That number's so big that you and I don't understand it. And frankly, hardly anybody in Washington, D.C. understands it, because if they did, they'd do something to stop it. But see, this is one of the concessions that Kevin McCarthy had to make. No more 1,000-page spending bills in the middle of the night that no one will ever read. Not the least of which was the seemingly endless funding of Ukraine. In that same episode back in January, I talked to then newly sworn in representative from Wyoming, Harriet Hageman. Here's what she had to say about it.
I've received phone calls and texts and emails from people saying, why in the world are you supporting Kevin McCarthy? Why would you vote for him? And I'll tell you very simply, I have been trying to give the space and the time to the people who need to negotiate changes to the rules. The folks who have been objecting to Kevin McCarthy have repeatedly stated it's not personal. It's about changing how things are done back here. And so they have continued over the last 4 days to negotiate changes, both substantively and procedurally, to the rules that operate or that govern this place. I think that that has been an extremely healthy discussion and extremely helpful discussion. And I have been voting for Kevin McCarthy because the alternative is we've had three choices throughout this process, that it was either going to be Kevin McCarthy, Hakeem Jeffries, or a coalition speaker that would be picked by the most liberal members on the Republican side and the Democrats. And though the last two scenarios were absolutely unacceptable to me, so I was voting because I felt that if we were all voting for Kevin McCarthy, keeping these discussions alive, making sure that we had the right people in the room, we were eventually going to get to where we needed to be.
If you want to go back and listen to that whole interview, the episode is entitled A Mess Explained, and it was on January 7th. So in other words, Kevin McCarthy was the lesser of three evils. It was either Kevin McCarthy, or it was somebody handpicked by the Democrats and the liberal Republicans. And why not choose Kevin McCarthy? He made all of those concessions, and he did it willingly. Well, almost willingly. He really wanted to be Speaker, and to do that, he had to give a little.
I'm sure that some members of the Freedom Caucus, while they held their nose, thought, why not give him enough rope to hang himself with? And then, 5 months later, while sporting a Ukrainian flag as his jacket handkerchief, he did that very thing. He cut a deal with Joe Biden on the debt ceiling. Because, you know, we have to be able to fund government. We can't stop spending. They can. They just don't want to. There's a very well-written op-ed on The Blaze from May 30th by Daniel Horowitz. In it, he says, quote, "The central flaw in McCarthy's approach to this deal was his entire messaging in the lead-up to this act of political adultery. Rather than drawing a line in the sand on the GOP passed bill and then making the battle about debt, inflation, and the weaponization of government, he made the battle about getting Biden to negotiate and about not defaulting on the debt. In other words, he conveyed the message that Republicans fear not raising the debt limit just as much as the Democrats. Perforce, Biden easily agreed to, quote, negotiate, so McCarthy could say he got, quote, something other than a clean debt limit increase. Once Biden agreed to negotiate and McCarthy wrongly validated June 1st as a drop-dead deadline, he had no leverage left. Hence, the interception rather than the touchdown in the form of a debt ceiling bill," end quote. Kevin McCarthy had shrugged off one of the main concessions that he had made to become Speaker. Kevin McCarthy's other mistake was in thinking that the new elected Republicans in the House of Representatives would go along with his plan just like other Congresses did. Big words to all of their constituents, but when it really came down to it, they would fold like a cheap suit. Because, well, that's how every other Congress had worked. I've never cared for Kevin McCarthy. I've always thought that he's really nothing more than a creature of the swamp, just like John Boehner, just like Paul Ryan, just like all the others. The reason he's been able to last as long as he has is he's really good at convincing people of what they want to hear already. That he's going to toe the conservative line, that he's going to cut spending, and that he's going to manage the budget like it's supposed to be managed. But the truth is, all along, Kevin McCarthy's only been good about going on TV, telling the American citizen what they want to hear, and then acting like a Washington, D.C. politician when it really comes down to it. Take the debt ceiling fight back in May, for example. After he cut that deal with Joe Biden, he went on just about every TV program that would have him, sounding the trumpets that he was able to remove $400 million in funding from China. Clearly, that's a good thing. But in comparison to the national debt, that's 0.01%. Or in a football game, that's 1/10,000th of a yard. Not even the length of your foot. So you can imagine why the members of the Freedom Caucus were so ticked off at Kevin McCarthy. But even then, they didn't remove him back in May when they absolutely had every justification to do so. Let's take a quick break. Somebody's got to pay for this thing. This installment of Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. It's fall, and I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but it's about to start snowing on all of those expensive toys that you purchased this summer. Now, you could prevent that by calling my pals Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. They're the experts in metal building construction. It doesn't really matter if you're thinking just a garage or a barn or maybe something bigger like a roping arena or even a giant warehouse for your business. Nick and Jesse are the guys you need to talk to. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. So one more time, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out at their website, mortonbuildings.com. Gunrunner Auctions is one of the nation's leading online auction houses, and they're celebrating their 26th year. Their specialty is estate firearms. Scott Weber, the owner, first travels to the estate and appraises the firearms for the heirs, and then he takes them to his Cody auction facilities where he and his team research them, sometimes getting factory letters from the Cody Museum about each firearm's history. Every month, beginning on the 7th, Scott and his team post 500 fine firearms for sale. All of the auctions start at $20, and there's no reserve. If you're looking for rare and hard-to-find firearms, or if you just need a workhorse to take out in the field and knock an elk down with, Gunrunner Auctions is the first stop that you should make. That's GunrunnerAuctions.com. If you've been thinking about buying or selling your property, the first thing that you should do is find a realtor that you can trust. Rebecca Bextel at Compass Real Estate is that realtor. Shocking though it may seem, Rebecca's been known to talk buyers out of a particular piece of property just simply because it didn't fit their needs. A lot of realtors are only interested in flipping a piece of property just to make a quick buck. Rebecca is not that agent. So if you want a realtor that you can trust, give Rebecca Bextel a call. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. That's 307-699-3519. If you haven't done so already, make sure that you sign up for my weekly newsletter. To do that, go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com, and go all the way to the bottom of the page, and you'll find a little form there where you put in your name and your email address. That way, you can keep updated on what's been happening with the program and new and exciting guests. And make sure that you follow and subscribe to the show. You can also do that at the website. On the episode link, you'll see a little button up in the upper right-hand corner. Just click it, and it'll subscribe you to Cowboy State Politics. And now, back to our program. Fast forward a couple months to yesterday. And by the way, it's kind of fascinating to me that we're not talking about years. We're only talking about months. Usually when you talk about a politician's misdeeds, you have to calculate it in terms of years. Not with Kevin McCarthy. In his case, it's easier just to simplify the equation, reduce it to its lowest terms. Last Saturday, Kevin McCarthy negotiated with Democrats to pass yet another continuing resolution. Of course, it didn't have funding for Ukraine, but it did have funding for just about everything else. Now, it wasn't the thousands of pages written by lobbyists that we're used to. It was only 71. But the main problem is that McCarthy didn't negotiate with the Freedom Caucus or most Republicans. Rather, he went to the Democrats, who would be more than happy to pass any sort of spending bill. That's kind of what they do. I wasn't surprised at all that McCarthy went to the Democrats to get it passed. Because, of course, we can't shut down the government, even though it really doesn't do anything except furloughs federal workers. Other than that, normal, everyday citizens like you and me wouldn't even notice that things were happening. Man, okay, we couldn't go to a national monument. Obama put that one in place. But other than that, shutting down the government really doesn't impact us whatsoever. People on Social Security still get paid. It's not that big of a deal. I'm of the opinion that we ought to shut it down more often. Stop spending. What happened afterwards is the interesting part to me. Matt Gaetz, who put this whole vacate the chair motion in motion, had to go to the Democrats to get it to pass. So essentially, he did the same thing that Kevin McCarthy did to get that continuing resolution passed. He negotiated with the Democrats. They are all in favor of chaos in the United States Congress. Even though Kevin McCarthy was a swamp creature, to them, he was still a Republican. A useful one, but still a Republican. Of course they're going to vote to remove him, because it gives them a chance to perhaps, maybe, put one of their people in the speakership. Remember what Representative Hageman said about the three options they had back in January. Here it is again.
That it was either going to be Kevin McCarthy, Hakeem Jeffries, or a coalition speaker that would be picked by the most liberal members on the Republican side and the Democrats. And though the last two scenarios were absolutely unacceptable to me.
In other words, if you're a Democrat, you absolutely like those odds. But let's set the politics of the moment aside for a little bit. We seem to be living in this weird place where nobody is held accountable for what they do. Think about the courts.
there is a very clear two-tiered system of justice. If you're a conservative, it's one punishment, but if you're a liberal Democrat, there's no punishment at all. And what about Hunter Biden? Really, if we did half of the things that guy did, we'd be in the stockade right about now. From the outside looking in, nobody is ever held accountable for anything. And so, when that actually happens, it's this giant controversy and everybody is surprised and everybody is outraged. Now, it seems, if you hold somebody accountable, then you're just being mean to them. Here at home in Wyoming, we have numerous websites that show you the voting records of all of your state legislators. And somehow, to make that public means that you're just being mean-spirited. How on earth could you possibly ever tell people the truth? Like I said, it's bizarro world. So when you boil it all down, yesterday, with Kevin McCarthy, really was a case of holding him accountable for the deals that he made. He's the one that said he was going to hold the line on spending. He's the one that said, we're done with continuing resolutions that are thousands of pages long. In the twisted logic of Washington, D.C., maybe he thought that just because this continuing resolution that passed last Saturday was only 71 pages long and not the thousands that he agreed not to approve, then he might be able to skate by. It's all technicalities, you see. But really, McCarthy's sin wasn't just that one act, nor was it just the one back in May. It was his whole philosophy. Yesterday, he gave a speech after he was removed as Speaker of the House, and he told you exactly what the main problem that real conservatives actually have with him. It's his belief system. Here he is saying it.
The one thing I will tell you is, doing the right thing isn't always easy, but it is necessary. I don't regret standing up for choosing governance over grievance. It is my responsibility. It is my job. I do not regret negotiating. Our government is designed to find compromise. I don't regret my efforts to build coalitions and find solutions.
There's a lot to unpack in that 30 seconds. But I think the main point is that Kevin McCarthy believes that it's okay to sacrifice your principles in order to negotiate. He always has. That's why he went back on his word that he gave to the Freedom Caucus. That's why you got the debt ceiling increase and you got the continuing resolution last Saturday. No matter what deal he made, he was always going to, quote unquote, negotiate. The reality of it is that negotiating for Kevin McCarthy means just give the Democrats whatever they want. And if you get $400 million out of it, the length of your foot on a football field, then it's all worth it. Given everything that I've told you this morning, you might be thinking that I'm in favor of what happened yesterday in that vote. I'm not, but not for the reasons that you might be thinking. I view our system in its entirety, as a whole. What's best for the republic? Our system is different than every other country. Certainly it's different than those who have a parliamentary-style government. In a parliamentary system, it's easy to remove a prime minister. All you need is one person to bring a vote of no confidence. If you were wondering, there really isn't that much difference between a motion to vacate and a vote of no confidence. Technically speaking, they're almost exactly the same thing. That motion shouldn't be able to be made by one person. And in that sense, it was a bad deal that Kevin McCarthy made from the very beginning. But that's the deal he had to make to become Speaker. He should have put the Republic before his own political ambitions. One of the reasons that our Constitution has lasted as long as it has, over 230 years, is its stability. It's very difficult to change things. And it ought to be. It ought to be resistant to the whims of the crowd. We're not a democracy, nor should we ever want to be. Thank God we don't have a parliamentary system. That's just plain chaos. Not that long ago, they had a prime minister that lasted a month or two. So here's exactly the deal that Kevin McCarthy made. He allowed a rule change that made the motion to vacate a privileged motion. A privileged motion is one that takes precedence over everything else. And barring that rule change, there are five of them in parliamentary procedure. fix a time to adjourn, to adjourn, to take a recess, to rise to a question of privilege, or to call for the orders of the day. It doesn't really matter what's going on in the body. They could be in the middle of debating a bill, and if somebody calls for one of those privileged motions, to adjourn, for example, it stops everything and they have to vote on that motion. What McCarthy did is he made the motion to vacate another privileged motion. You've probably heard just about every commentator say that with that rule change, it only takes one person to bring a motion to vacate. Anytime you monkey with the rules, there are consequences. And Kevin McCarthy found out about that yesterday. My problem with this whole thing yesterday is not whether or not Kevin McCarthy deserved it. He absolutely did. He made deals and then didn't keep up his end of the bargain, and he ought to be held accountable. My problem is with the timing. There are a ton of things that are happening in the House of Representatives right now. There's an impeachment inquiry. There's the subcommittee on the weaponization of government, and a whole laundry list of other really important things. What if you ditched Kevin McCarthy and you're unable to elect a Speaker of the House that wants to continue those two endeavors? What happens if you get a Speaker that says, we don't need an impeachment inquiry any longer? Or this subcommittee on the weaponization of government is silly. In politics, you have to play chess and not checkers. You can't submit yourselves to the whims of instant gratification. In 45 days, there's going to be yet another continuing resolution debate. And you'll still have the impeachment inquiry, and you'll still have the weaponization of government subcommittee, and you'll still have the Judiciary Committee looking into everything that Joe Biden is doing. Essentially, what I'm saying is, right move, wrong time. It's not a simple choice, and it shouldn't be. It ought to be a choice that you can get all of your Republican colleagues to go along with, or at least a majority of them. You shouldn't have to go to the Democrats to get the job done. There's a reason why many members of the Freedom Caucus voted against Matt Gaetz' motion. It could very well be that they didn't disagree that Kevin McCarthy is a creature of the swamp of the highest order. They may just have disagreed on the timing. In any case, now, in the middle of everything that is going on, we have to put the brakes on the whole show and choose another speaker. On the other hand, however, and you could always say, there was never going to be a better time to do this because it hasn't happened before in our nation's history. I get that. But right now was definitely not the right time to do it. So just in case you think I'm riding the fence on this whole thing, I'm not. I completely agree with getting rid of Kevin McCarthy. I just wish it would have happened a little bit later. And if you think that it's a good idea to vote with all of the Democrats, you should probably reconsider what you're planning. Because there was absolutely a reason that all of them wanted to get rid of Kevin McCarthy. And if you're siding with the Democrats, you better reconsider your position because they probably know something that you don't. Remember, Democrats play the long game, and they wouldn't have agreed to do this with Matt Gaetz if it didn't fit into their plan. So, like I said, definitely not the right time to remove the Speaker of the House. So, what happens next? Well, Matt Gaetz doesn't have any political capital left, certainly not with the Republican caucus, so he shouldn't expect that he's going to get his nominee for Speaker of the House through, and the rest of the Republican caucus are left to choose the new Speaker. Matt Gaetz, if he still has the backing of some of the Freedom Caucus members, will have a say in choosing the new speaker. He just won't have as much influence as he had before. And all of us get to watch that whole drama play out yet again, not 10 months after we did it the first time. And here's the other thing, too. The Republicans have thrown a giant meatball right down the center of the plate to the media and any Democrat that wants to knock that thing to the moon. So there's a whole lot of stuff that goes into this, and I wish we would have taken all those things into consideration before ousting Kevin McCarthy. As it is, though, now we get to watch and see who they're going to put up for speaker. That'll do it for today's installment of the program. If you haven't bought your tickets yet to the Independence Network launch party that happens this Saturday in Sheridan, Wyoming, go to the website independencenetwork.us and you'll find a link to the ticket site. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboys State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboys State Politics.